Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to First Hour.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 8, If I Be Lifted Up. He had testified, done the miracles, and yet they did not believe. Yet he would be lifted up and draw all men unto him. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 19th day of July, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 27, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 47. The featured posts this week by the Watchman are Christian Nonconformity in the World, All Things in Christ Jesus, Christian Nonconformity in the World. This is the beginning and ending of all things in Christ Jesus. The flood was finished. Everything was now swept away in the judgment except Noah, the ark, animals, and Noah's family. Behold justice, judgment, and mercy. When he comes, all shall behold him, and all that dwell on the earth shall wail because of him. Mercy is given, but justice and judgment are rewarded. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com to read those articles by the Watchman and listen to the shows. You can follow us on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And tonight, John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 8, is about the Lord as he said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This phrase the Jews did not understand. They saw him teaching in the synagogue, teaching on the hills and in homes, and also witnessed the miracles. Yet for all this, the light and the testimony of our Lord went unheeded by many there. They did not believe, and in this we find Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Yet in the end he would fulfill all things and bring unto himself the redeemed who did believe. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Battle Lines Thursday night.
Greetings.
How are you doing tonight, Dana?
I'm doing good. We're getting a little bit of heat, weather, hot.
Isn't it wonderful?
July? Summer? Yeah. Well, at any rate, we really don't get a lot of extended days of real hot.
So I guess I'm not going to complain. I'd rather have this than the snow.
But actually, it's been pretty good. So, well, at any rate, we got a lot of things going on around the country. But, you know, if you were to look at a lot of the news and you'd see what's going on both sides of the fence, you would, you would think that America is just nothing but a bunch of knuckleheads and just disunity, and there's nothing good about this country.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line of it is there are places all around America, and I'm going to speak of up in our neck of the woods, that are pristine, that are gorgeous, that have the wildlife better than pretty much any other state. Now, there's other states that do have wildlife, a good amount, but we have a lot. And, you know, there's two different worlds that you see. One is the political spectrum and the liberal news. Those, and most of the liberal news, are in big cities. And you have a lot of liberals that in CNN, NBC, and a number of others. You have a lot in Hollywood, and a lot of them are chomping at the bit. They practice most of the time hating Trump. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that there is another world in America that's totally removed from the foolishness that we see in the news, on the internet, and it's in your newspapers. It's on the radio, the television, it's in your face, if you let it. Now, the real convenient thing about us is that we don't have television. We don't buy television from anybody. We don't have network news. We don't have to worry about having a bunch of garbage. We watch what we want to watch without commercials, and I have news apps, and I select the news sources I want. And every once in a while, I will listen to some of the other stuff. Not many times. But if you allow this foolishness to push you into the realm of depression or psychotic behavior or something, then you need to remove yourself from it and go find you a spot and lose yourself in something else besides this absolute, stupid, foolishness, ridiculous, sinful, hateful, divisionary tactics used by the left. And you cannot, dear God in heaven, hang on every word that Trump says. Obama did some of the same stuff, but the liberals don't bring it up. And, of course, whatever he said didn't bother the liberals, it bothered the conservatives. And there's much of what Trump did that the conservatives and a lot of others really liked. Now, Tower, today I seen an article, and you won't believe, it was about Soros.
Really?
And he said, according to the news story, I didn't read it, I read the headlines, a little bit of the explanation, because I don't go there. He said that Barack Obama was one of the biggest disappointments in his life.
Huh.
But Barack Obama did a lot of stuff, but didn't do enough for George Soros.
That's funny.
Well, you know, what do you expect for the millions that he funneled in?
Yeah.
So at any rate, you need to remove yourself, and for us around here, we can find a place to go with our family, and we can meet other people, and we can sit there alongside you know, in an area that we go to, and there's other people that show up, and you can talk to them. You can even mention politics for a little bit, and they'll shake their head and agree with you and move on to enjoy their day. You know, this is where we're at in America. The liberals want you to believe, and many of the liberal news works, and they've said it today. Ingram was quoting a bunch of them, that this is the worst America's ever been in history. This is absolutely the worst. They're talking about impeachment, and they picked up on one little word that Trump did. So Trump, in his usual way, decided that he would do something. You know what he was doing?
What?
He was going to invite Putin to Washington. You know, I think it's so funny. And then he put up a video. He said, "Yeah," and Trump does this. I think this guy likes to irritate him. Because he says how short the memories of the Democrats are. And he put a short video of Hillary up there saying how we need a strong Russia. The Democrats now, you know, they don't even want to talk about Russia because Russia is the enemy, and Trump is the enemy too, and Putin put Trump in, and just a bunch of stupid stuff, you know. And there are people that believe this, believe it or not. But there are people today that have gone over the edge in psychotic behavior. There's people that are in depression. I mean, truthfully. Now, if you don't mind what Trump did, then you're not in a psychotic behavior and you're not depressed and you look at it. And, of course, I don't hang on every word Trump says anyway because he's not a politician. And
yeah,
he's not going to be real careful. And Laura Ingram, she's the official correct Donald Trump, and she, while she was getting after the Democrats, said that she would get after Trump if he says things that misspeaks, which he does. Me? I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's not perfect. He's a billionaire. He's a white guy, in case you haven't noticed. He has a beautiful wife that is a lady, and they live in Trump Tower, walked around on, from what I understood, golden floors. I don't know. And, you know, this is a guy that had a different lifestyle, totally. So he went from there and on television to the White House. I mean, how many people can do that?
Yeah.
So at any rate, as far as Tower and I, and even my family, we do not hang on every word these knuckleheads say. And when we have a chance, we get out of Dodge. We shut everything off. On my days off, I have a SAP. It begins Friday night, and it goes through Saturday night. And I tell you, I stay far away from a lot of the mainstream news and everything else. And when I'm up where I go, I'm not hanging on my cell phone. And I got another life. I'm here to warn as a watchman, but I'm not here to imbibe and listen and allow these demagoguery, this demagoguery and this baloney, there's another word for it, but I'm not going to use it, these lies and this phoniness by a bunch of pompous hypocrites who don't understand that they're throwing stones and they're in a glass house themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
The Democrats are as big a sinner as Trump is. And so, I don't go there. I preach, I teach, I write, we do a lot of stuff, and when we're done, we get out, and we do not allow these people to dictate my faith, who I believe in, and whether I'm happy or whether I'm sad. And I want to tell you today, before we get into the teaching, you need to get your eyes on the Lord and get it off the politics, get it off Trump, get it off the Democrats, and get it off America, and get into, and I can tell you, you can find pristine places to go from the East Coast to the West Coast, from up north, down south. There's always a place that people can go just to get away from the crowd and get focused, get yourself centered. If you don't know God and don't want to go to Him, you can get, you know, go to the Mother Nature, as many people call it. I go to the Lord, and then when I go to the outdoors or wherever I go, I look up to the Lord.
Yeah, and I hate thank it when Him. They say Mother Nature.
I know. Mother Nature was another term to replace God by the feminists who didn't like a feminine God. And so when they were doing that, they tried to get the word God to be either gender neutral, which they're doing, or to make it a female pronoun of some kind. And since that didn't work, they pushed the Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Since you're not going to change God, we're going to replace Him. We'll teach you. Well, you know, good luck. You know, when judgment comes, you know, we'll see how well you get along with that. Okay?
Yeah.
We'll see if Mother Nature's up there alongside Jesus Christ. Okay? And I guarantee you she won't be. Neither will Mary. Mary is not a co-redeemer. As much as whatever it is, a billion Catholics believe.
Oh, I know.
You people need to get your doctrine straight. You need to stop listening to these backslidden priests you got and, you know, get back into the apostolic teaching and serve the true Christ. How's that? Okay?
There you go. Amen.
That goes for a few other denominations that are following fairy tales. But at any rate, we're glad that you join us whenever you did. You know, Tower, I was surprised about Soros being disappointed in Barack Obama.
Yeah, me too. That I'm shocked. It makes me laugh, but I'm shocked that he's disappointed in Barack Obama. That's hard to believe.
Well, you know, Michelle is getting with, he's an actor. Tom, he starred in some comedies. And she's getting with someone else, and they're going to do a push to register people to vote. And I can tell you where they're going to go. They're going to go to illegals to get them to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what they're going to do. Because they're going to do everything they can to overthrow Trump and get everything set back. So, you know, I mean, this is where it is. You know, there's not going to be any stopping. There is not going to be any peace. There's not going to be anybody coming to their senses. Because the Democrats are bound and determined to overthrow, undo, and after they get that done, they're going to make things illegal, they're going to push their own agenda, and if you think this place isn't hell enough during Obama's time, you just wait till these people get done. But
yeah.
You know?
You got that right.
Because I can guarantee you, Barack Obama just about decimated the economy in many areas, especially Wyoming. So, you know, globalism, yeah, that was Barack Obama's baby, too.
Yeah.
So, only God knows, there's a big push on to find someone totally new, you know. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they don't want Bernie. They want to go get somebody else, but Bernie did make a top of the list. They some of them prefer him over Hillary. God, I hope we don't have Hillary back.
Well, who was that? What was Trump saying about Biden yesterday?
I don't know.
He was saying that Obama pulled him from the garbage heap.
You know, Biden, you know, there was people that said Biden really is, when you get him alone, he's a nice guy. I don't know. I don't know Biden. I don't have nothing against Biden. But Biden, if there was something foolish to say, he would wind up saying.
Yeah.
And yet, it's kind of funny, you know, nobody really carried on about Biden the way they do about Trump, because Trump does occasionally go off and say things that people go blitzkrieg over. And of course CNN and its group of commentators, they are just absolutely horrified at Trump and this Russian thing. I mean, horrified. I mean, they are absolutely beyond themselves into paranoia, schizophrenic hate beyond anything we've seen so far. I mean, it just, you know, it just... And some of the old commentators that I used to listen to, you know, I didn't realize they were so nuts. And when you see them in this role, well... And the only reason I saw it was because Laura Ingraham was picking up on it from what Trump said. She said that Trump said one thing, and this is what they said. So she rolled the tape. And it's you know, it is just, you know... And then, what does Trump do? He's going to... He wants to invite Putin to Washington. I mean, good grief. You know, I'm just... I almost can't, you know, contain myself. I want to laugh. You know, I mean, really. It's just, like, hilarious. It's like, you know, you're in a hot air balloon, and, you know, you're out on the Atlantic, and a storm is brewing, and you've got a solution, and that is to pop the balloon that you're in, to let the head air out so you can fall into the sea. I mean, that's, you know, that's where these people are now. They're in a strait. You know, the Martians are invading, and we need to do something, and we're losing. Or, you know, planet Earth is about ready to get turned, you know, into a desolate planet. You know, I mean, they're just like... beyond normalcy. I mean,
oh, I know.
And they've been that way anyway, but it's just the tape she's shown was just like, you know, is it any wonder Teddy boy sold CNN?
Yeah, he's probably glad he did now. That was several years ago though.
Well, he didn't believe in God either.
Yeah.
And Jane Fonda, wasn't that his wife?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, well, she was supposed to become a Christian, but now she's...
A knucklehead.
A knucklehead. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. So, at any rate, we got to get going with this study. You got anything you want to cover?
Nope, I guess I'm good.
Okay, well,
I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, we are in John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ, If I Be Lifted Up. And we are counting down. We've got about 9 more chapters of this. And, you know, I've been going to do Isaiah too, but, you know, Isaiah is... a lot longer than this one. So, quite a bit. Okay. Now, we are in chapter 12. And if we go back to verse 23, we pick up where he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And he talks about that for a while. And then he gets down to verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Thank God for that. Because we can live above this. We can, you know, we can... in Jesus' name, we can bind principalities and powers and the chief liar himself. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us, all because of what Christ did. And this is the judgment. This is the moment that he defeated him. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now that's really what we're talking about in this section. If I be lifted up. And thank God that he was lifted up. And The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now, of course, when he spoke, you know, he tells us this, "My words are spirit and they are life." They're not, they relate deeper than just the outside form. Now, when you say the Son of Man, I mean, you can say anybody born of a woman, which is all of us, comes out of the breadth of the human genome. But the Son of Man is that humanity side. He, as the Son of God, emptied himself and entered into that embryo. It's hard. It's really, when you think about it, it's absolutely, you know, at the moment that the spirit, the soul, enters into that fetus, you have a human. And we believe that happens at conception. And so he entered in at the moment of conception, being overshadowed by, when Mary is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. It was purely an operation of the divine. And so the Son of Man refers to that portion of him. He's truly God and truly man. And it's because taking on this body of the flesh that he's able to identify with us, understand what you know, temptation you go through, understand how weak it is. Now see, remember, he emptied himself, but he still had the fullness of the Spirit. He had the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, when you see in Revelation the Lamb that is in Revelation, that is him after the crucifixion, and that is the Spirit showing the Lamb being that had been slain and showing his power and the whole nine yards and showing him before the Father in heaven, and he was able to take the book. Now see, this is how it's done in the spirit realm. When you see this, and so you have him here and he's talking to them, and they, of course, they don't know. They don't know how he's going to be lifted up. They don't know what he's talking about being lifted up. And they don't even know who the Son of Man is. And of course, then the Lord said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth." And of course, that's the same thing today. We could say that very same thing today. The Lord is in heaven, but yet we are the lights of the Lord. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light. You know, the Lord is in us, and his light shines through us. And we're to give the light. We're to give the hope. We're to be the salt. And so, to the world, you know, while this light is here, because the light isn't always going to be here, one of these days, the dark one's coming, and they're going to believe a lie. And God's grace is not going to extend forever. You're not going to be able to live in your lies forever. And so the Lord is telling them, you know, "I'm the light. And I'm here, but I'm going to be lifted up and I'm going to be gone." Because he will have finished what he came to do. And it is so amazing what he did. They have no idea. And even the apostles, I don't think, really understood the depth of what he was doing, in that he just didn't come to die on the cross. I mean, anybody can die on the cross, but he died on the cross. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. And because his blood, being coming from the divine nature. It was that blood. And God had chosen that it is the blood that would be the atonement to make up for the sins of man. Now see, underneath the law, all they had was the blood of animals, which could not fulfill the redeeming aspects of God's law. That merely produced an obedience in them and covered temporarily the sins so God could deal with them, and he gave them the law so they could walk in it and have this relationship with him. But to have the true redemption and to have his spirit and to be able to bind the enemy and do miracles in his name and signs and wonders, it needed to have something more, and that's what the Lord brought. And see, this is the difference fundamentally when we talk about you have the old covenant and the new covenant. The law never was functioned to forgive your sins, the law itself. Now the system of sacrifices was, and the giving of the Day of Atonement and the atoning priest. Jesus, Yahshua, fulfilled it. He was and is the high priest. He's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who has no beginning and no end. And so he says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I could say that today about the planet. That's the same thing on the planet. And you see, while we talk about the Jews, the promises went through Abraham, and that promise was to all the nations. In him, it said, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, not just Judah. See, the promise that God fulfilled through Christ was the final aspect of that. That this redeeming work would go to all the world, not just to Judah. And while we're talking about it, Abraham, where it says, in him will all the world, all the nations will be blessed, we find that very same thing flowing through Ephraim, who was the youngest of Joseph's sons. Manasseh should have been, but he did not carry that promise. Isaac carried the promise. Ephraim carried the promise. But Ephraim, later on, we find Ephraim totally rebelling against God and actually losing their place. And of course, Judah being sent into captivity for sin, but yet God bringing them back. But through all of this, we have that redemptive line until the fact when he did come, he was born of a virgin. And the power, though, that he was able to bring, and the deliverance that he was able to bring, the fact that you don't have to keep the system of laws and sacrifices because Christ already did it. Now, we talk about keeping the commandments because if you go back to the Ten Commandments themselves, he said, you will have no other gods before me. Now, that law there, the Ten Commandment, is still viable today. Why? Because you cannot go away from that. He says, you will have no other gods before me. So you try having another God besides our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't going to work. Christ didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices, the fulfillment of the law itself, and the high priest, the Day of Atonement, even Passover, and all the other were mere shadows of what he was going to do. And so today we have grace, which flowed out of his mercy, and that mercy came out of God's love, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. Now this very same thing, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul tells us that the world will reject that love, and they will seek another, who happens to be the descriptive term, son of perdition. There's two of them concerning the end time dark one that's coming. One is the beast, in Revelation 13. The other one is 2 Thessalonians 2, and it calls him the son of perdition. Now see, that son of perdition is a descriptive term given in order to allow you to understand what he's going to do. He's going to lead the people into destruction. While we look in Revelation 13, in all of his power, we see that he comes from the beast, directly out of the beast. There's only one beast, which is the dragon, signified in Revelation, the beast, Satan. And when he appears as light, we call him Lucifer. Isaiah spoke of him. So this is the battle. But you're not going to have that grace and mercy. And so the Lord is, you know, while he says this to Israel and to the people there, he's very truthful and said, hey, I'm here. You see me. You know, ask me. I'm here. But they did not believe on him. Not all of them, especially the high priest who sought to get him killed. Verse 36, while you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. That admonition he gave to his own people there. That admonition is just alive today. And to the world, I say, to America, I say, while you have the light, believe in the light, because there's another light coming. That light which comes will come out of the son of perdition through many signs and wonders. And because you have rejected the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God will send a delusion so you believe a lie. That's why you need to believe today, to find the true light, to find the true way, the true life, to find the Son of God. Now see, these things spake Jesus, departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And he went to his own, and his own received him not. But this is what John said in John 1. But yet, in verse 38, it follows up on that to make sure you know that it came out of Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, given by the prophet to Israel because they would not listen, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. The arm of the Lord was the Son of God, is the Son of God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, that's him. And that arm of the Lord was revealed to Israel. He went to his own, and his own received him not. They did not believe his report. Now, there was some that did believe it, but you get right into the thick of things, right into the mainstay of the church of their day, which was the temple of the high priest. You had the Sanhedrin. You had the Sadducees. You had the Pharisees. You even had Saul, which is known as Paul, who grew up under the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a big one. He knew all of the big important mucky mucks of his day, but yet he did not realize who the Lord was till after the Lord had been resurrected and the Lord appeared to him when he was on his way to Damascus to further persecute the church. Now this is how blinded they were. When you look at Paul and see everything he knows today through his word that he wrote and how God had awoken him from that sleep, we see indeed that Israel, including the high priest and everybody in it, many of them were asleep and would not believe it. We know Nicodemus was a believer, but because he was in the temple and among a lot of the Pharisees, he kept it kind of quiet. He went to the Lord at night, but we find him mentioned in Scripture as a very viable one who did believe that was in there. There were others. But see, the thing of it is that they had a lot of political power in there. So, and in Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now this reminds me of what Jeremiah was preaching all the time. And the people said to Jeremiah, preach to us smooth things. We don't want to hear what you're saying, Jeremiah. Go back to where you came from, leave us alone. If you can't preach what we want to hear, stay away from us. And that's the way Israel was. They stoned the prophets. And so while you have all these religious of his day when the Lord was going around, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews themselves, the high priests. They stoned the very prophets that they quoted. And they didn't. And as the Lord said, you don't even keep the law. But yet they would pontificate and get out, and many of the people, that's who they looked at. And when you really get into it and find what Paul says about the Jews when they were done, oh, dear God in heaven, I'm telling you, he said it like it was. And it's amazing when we think about all of this. And see, this is what Isaiah was doing. He was to continue. He was going to tell them no matter what. But see, this is a prophecy. And this is exactly what the Lord did. He continued to tell them, continued to challenge them. He was right there, told them to believe. In verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, and this is another one, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Well, in Isaiah it says of the Lord, I will choose their delusions and bring their own fears upon them, because when I called, they did not answer. And that's exactly what this is pertaining to. When he called through the prophets. They would not listen to the prophets. They killed the prophets. They rejected the message. They would not listen. So he said, I'll choose your delusions. I will bring your own fears upon you. So when you fast forward to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, make no mistake about it. If you think this God is a God that doesn't keep his word, you're nuttier than a fruitcake, because he turns around and he says, because you've rejected the love of the truth, I'm going to send you a delusion. And it's going to have miracles and signs and wonders. They're going to follow him, and he's going to lead them into destruction. They're going to be destroyed because they refused him who spoke. So I'm telling you today, you ignore these messages at your own peril. And I mean the message of the Word of God. You can ignore me. You can ignore me all which way. Because it's not me that does it. I speak the Word. The word that goes out, that word takes root, and you have a responsibility to believe it, receive it, reject it. And I got news for you. When you reject God's word, you're rejecting him. And the delusion comes. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now see, this is sad. And you see, there was such a chokehold on the people, and even the ones that were the high mucky mucks. They controlled this so tightly that you had no choice to do what they said, even when they were wrong. And in order to get along with them, I mean, you didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, but that's exactly what would happen. You'd been kicked out. Actually, this is the second temple. And Jesus Christ cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And all these words, these are just as true today. Every generation since he said this, these words are given. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and rejecteth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. And as I said, it's the word that goes forth. It's very important to understand that. The word. When you reject the word, Christ is the word. He is the incarnate word. He is word in the flesh when he came. You reject him at your own peril. You reject his word at your own peril. And when you reject the Lord or his word, you've just rejected the Father. You cannot accept the Father and reject the Son. That's Antichrist. And that's exactly what Islam does, and many others. The judgment will be set on all those who do not believe, no matter who they are. And on that day, it will not be a day of rejoicing for those who have rejected him. You see, these do not look for his coming. While those who are obedient to the Lord and believe his word, they look for his coming. When he appears and comes, the wicked will cry to the rocks and the earth to fall on them, the mountains to hide them from him who sits on the throne. The redeemed will run to the Lord in joy. He will appear to them who look for him the second time. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The Son didn't come to upstage the Father. He was sent. They were one in purpose, in spirit. So much so that when you saw the Son, you saw the Father. And the Son would always speak of the Father. Now in John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Those are those followers of his that had come to him. And this, we could call this, you know, one of the last suppers he had with them. Because he knew that the time was drawing short. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. There's been a lot said about what Judas was doing. Scripture simply says that Judas was a thief. He had a heart of a thief. And some of them said, well, he betrayed the Lord because he thought that if he put pressure on him, he would become the Messiah, the political Messiah, to take Israel to the top of the heap and get rid of the Roman Empire and their rule over them. That's ridiculous. Doesn't matter. Bottom line of it is, Judas was a stinking thief. And he went along and he was probably attracted in a lot of ways. Now the question would say, well, did he have a chance to say, no, I'm not going to do it? Well, it really doesn't enter into that, because Judas was wicked from the start. He was evil from the start. He was a thief from the start. And everything that he did came out of that. He didn't want to repent. He had plenty of time to repent and change, but he didn't. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And see, I like this. The Father had given everything into his hands. So, you know, I mean, you look at the kingdom of God rested on Christ and what he was doing. Because the Father had given everything into his hands, and the Father knew that he would finish. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he comes to Simon Peter, and you gotta love Simon Peter. Simon Peter didn't always understand everything he should have. He was impulsive. For instance, when he walked on water, he wanted to get out of the boat. None of the others would get out of the boat, but he was impulsive. I want to walk on water. The Lord did it. I want to do it. So he got out of the boat. Then when he saw the waves and everything, he began to sink. So there's times that he's impulsive, and that impulsiveness leads him into trouble. And we see that when, you know, he went and he denied the Lord. Well, the Lord told him that Satan desired to sift him. But see, when you see Peter after the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, he's a different person altogether. He is a leader. And when you read his epistles, it's not the same Simon Peter as here. He had been empowered by that arrival of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do... Oh, let's go back to that. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Well, Peter saw him as Lord. He saw him as the Christ. And Peter didn't think that Jesus should be washing his feet. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Messiah. Peter should have been washing his feet, not Jesus washing his feet. And this, although Scripture doesn't say it, this is what, when we look at Peter, what has to be going through his mind at the time. So the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So then Peter says, well, fine then. I want to make sure we get it done right. So he says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So he says, well, if a little bit is good, let's get the whole thing, you know. And I love that, because this really shows you the personality of Peter. You know, and it shows you how God deals with personalities. Folks, we all have personalities. We're all different. And, you know, God put up with Peter and made a tremendous man of God out of him. He can put up with you. He knows your idiosyncrasies. He knows you're not perfect. But he'll work with you. He'll deal with you. And Peter shows us, you know, that God takes us by faith, imputes righteousness to us, leads us on a path of sanctification. We are justified in His sight by faith because of God's grace. But the vehicle's faith. Grace is His favor to allow us to do that. And so Simon Peter, he said, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You are all clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, you are not all clean. Now you see, the Lord knows the hearts of all the other apostles. They were clean. No, Peter, you don't need to have your head and everything else. That's not what this is about. This is about servitude. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again, said to them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. An amazing lesson. Now, that's the end of hour one. We'll pick this up in hour two, and we do that in order to make it easier for those people to download this, to listen to it, especially on their smartphone and various other devices that they listen to it on. So we're going to be back. It'll be about 4 minutes or so, 3-4 minutes, and we'll come back with hour two. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy 3 or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only. Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy 3 or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.